Radio Prague News. Officials have confirmed another leak at the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia. Britain's Secretary for Europe says stationing a radar base on Czech territory is entirely up to Prague and Washington. And the average salary in the Czech Republic has risen by 6.5% to reach 20,211 crowns, which is around $940. Officials at the Temelín nuclear power plant in South Bohemia have confirmed that some 1,100 litres of slightly radioactive cooling liquid containing boric acid have leaked from one of the plant's units. The leak occurred on Tuesday afternoon during a pressure test. The plant had not been in operation as it is currently undergoing fuel replacement. Temelín spokesman Milan Nebesaj says neither the plant's staff nor the environment was ever at risk. This is the plant's second leak in 1 week. Whether or not a radar station will be built on Czech territory is entirely up to Prague and Washington, British Secretary for Europe Jeff Hoon said on Wednesday. On his visit to the Czech Republic, he added, though, that the station should also serve to protect local residents. An official request to host a radar station as part of a U.S. missile defense plan was issued late last year. The ruling coalition Green Party, but also Germany, for example, say such a site should only be built if it is also part of NATO's defense system. A Prague lawyer has demanded that the Social Democratic Party make their books of account public and prove that they're not giving preferential treatment to other creditors. Zdeněk Altner suspects that the country's second biggest party paid a creditor almost 1 million crowns, despite the fact that it still owes him 19 billion or close to $890 million for services provided almost 7 years ago. On Wednesday, Mr. Altner threatened to go ahead with plans to start bankruptcy proceedings against the Social Democrats. Scientists at Prague's Organic Chemistry and Biochemistry Institute have made a breakthrough in medical research into virology, Mladá Fronta Dnes newspaper reports. In cooperation with colleagues from Belgium and the United States, they've come up with medical treatment that can facilitate and in some cases save the lives of people with serious viral diseases. The medication works with minimal side effects, but the pharmaceutical company that is acquiring the license is reluctant to introduce it on the market. Competition from less effective but already established medication would be too strong, the paper writes. The average salary in the Czech Republic has risen by 6.5%, according to new figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Wednesday. The average salary now stands at 20,211 crowns, which is around $940. However, economic analysts stress that the figure is influenced by the high salaries of a small minority. In reality, two-thirds of the country's salaries are well below the 20,000 crown mark. And a quick look at the weather. The next few days are expected to be partly cloudy with sunny intervals and afternoon highs reaching 13 degrees Celsius. I'm Dita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the program, a government minister tainted by scandal. The Christian Democrats are still standing behind their leader, but the pressure mounts on Jiří Čunek to resign. Who owns St. Vitus Cathedral? The Supreme Court says it belongs to the state, but the church is loath to hand it over. We'll be looking at a pioneering endeavor in the Czech wine business, and in today's spotlight, we'll take you to the largest open-air market in Prague. All that and more coming your way. Please stay with us. The The Christian Democrat leader Jiří Čunek seems to never be off the front pages these days with a constant flow of allegations concerning his investigation on suspicion of bribe-taking when he was mayor of a town in Moravia. On Tuesday, there was at least a little good news for the beleaguered Mr. Čunek when he received the public backing of his party. But the question remains, can he ride out the storm? Ian Willoughby has the story.
Police are investigating allegations that Jiří Čunek took a half-million-crown bribe from a real estate company when he was mayor of the town of Vsetín. Mr. Čunek says he can prove his innocence, though at different times he does appear to have given different explanations as to how he got the money. The latest twist in the saga came with the arrest last week of three men, after Marcela Urbanova, Mr. Čunek's former secretary and the chief witness in the investigation, said they offered her a bribe to withdraw her allegations. One of them, businessman Roman Vaškui, was charged on Monday. He admits trying to help Jiří Čunek, saying he met Miss Urbanova in the hope she would ask for a bribe and discredit herself. She, meanwhile, is being protected by the police at a secret location. On Tuesday, the leadership of Mr. Čunek's party, the Christian Democrats, met to discuss the case. Afterwards, they issued a one-line statement saying they trusted their chairman, who is also a deputy prime minister and minister for regional development. That was a rare piece of good news for Mr. Čunek. However, it has been undermined by press reports on Wednesday that some senior Christian Democrats had been opposed to a direct expression of support for the party leader. Outside his own party, patience with Mr. Čunek appears to be running out. Some cabinet members have expressed worries the affair could harm the government, in which the Christian Democrats are the second biggest party. Environment Minister Martin Bursík has used perhaps the strongest language. He did not make a direct call for Mr. Čunek to step down, but did say in the same situation all his Green Party colleagues would resign. Throughout this whole affair, Jiří Čunek has stood firm, insisting on his innocence and promising to fight to clear his name. But the way things are going, if and when the matter comes to court, there's a growing chance that the man in the dock will no longer be a member of the Czech government.
Moving on now, as we reported last month, the Supreme Court cancelled all previous rulings by lower courts that ordered the Czech state to hand over Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral to the Roman Catholic Church. The administration of Prague Castle is now claiming the monument back. On Tuesday, the representatives of both parties met to discuss further steps. Pavla Horáková has more.
The legal battle between the state and the Catholic Church over whom St. Vitus Cathedral belongs to has been going on for some 14 years. The ruling of the Supreme Court implies the monument is to be returned to the state without delay. Tuesday's meeting of church representatives and the Prague Castle administration, which previously managed the cathedral, produced no tangible results, and talks will continue in the coming days. The Catholic Church argues that the matter is complicated, for example, by the fact that the furnishings belong to the church. Prague Bishop Václav Malý.
Otázka průvodcovské služby, otázka vstupného, otázka údržby.
There is also the cleaning of the cathedral, maintenance, the guided tours, and cost of the utilities. Then there are the furnishings. Who will finance the restoration and maintenance of the monuments inside? These are very complex matters, and it's necessary that everything be covered with proper contracts and agreements. On Friday, the talks will continue, and we will discuss the daily regime in the cathedral. We need to discuss all possibilities and options.
The dispute between the church and the state has been going on since the early 1990s. While lower courts ruled that the Catholic Church never lost its ownership rights to the cathedral and the communist government merely oversaw the church's administration, the Supreme Court has now ruled otherwise. Built by heads of state to serve God, it is taking years to determine who the cathedral belongs to. Historian Dušan Třeštík, an expert on Czech medieval history, says it is all more complex.
Absurdita toho nekonečného sporu je v tom, že
The whole absurdity of this never-ending legal battle is that the cathedral, including the furnishings, does not belong to anyone. It belongs to itself. When Emperor Charles IV built the cathedral and presented it to the archbishopric, it was technically a loan under medieval law. Yet the monarch kept his ownership, but the other party was also an owner. This has never changed. The ownership of the cathedral is still hanging in the medieval state and shouldn't be examined by a civil court.
Meanwhile, the Catholic Church is still charging a 100-crown entrance fee from the visitors, even though the Prague Castle administration opposes it. They say they will abolish the fee once the cathedral is handed over.
Now, most European countries seem to agree on a speed limit of 130 kilometers per hour or less on their motorways. The Czech Republic, however, may soon become the only country in Europe where the limit would be 160 kilometers per hour. But that higher speed limit seems to be popular mainly among some Czech politicians. Experts are much less enthusiastic about the idea. Lenka Petáková has the story.
The Czech Ministry of Transportation is going to come up with a bill in the summer, which, if passed, would enable drivers to go at a speed of 160 kilometers per hour on certain parts of Czech motorways. What would be the effects of such a speed limit? I spoke with one of the country's leading experts in the field, Professor František Lehovec, from the Department of Road Construction at the Czech Technical University.
Ten dopravní proud, který se pohybuje po té dopravní cestě.
The flow of traffic which moves along a certain route brings with it a certain risk of crashes because it involves various maneuvers such as overtaking and returning to the lane. As soon as we start to influence the homogeneity of the flow of traffic by making a huge difference between the slowest and the fastest cars possible, the number of dangerous situations will sharply increase. So the homogeneity of the flow of traffic is absolutely crucial as far as the level of road traffic risk is concerned.
This seems to take the wind out of the ministry's sails, as the homogeneity of the flow of traffic is one of its key arguments in favour of a higher speed limit. Professor Lehovec points to a recent British study which dealt with the effect of higher speed limits on traffic risk. It found that every kilometre of average speed increases the probability of a traffic accident by 5%. He's also convinced that the capacity of Czech motorways would decrease if a higher speed limit was allowed, whereas even now some motorways are already overburdened. A higher noise level and higher amounts of emissions are other minuses of the ministry's proposal.
A higher speed limit brings with it an increased amount of emissions. And since the relation between the two is not linear but geometric, it means that even if the speed is increased only a little, it leads to a considerable increase in the production of emissions. But this isn't the only problem that the higher speed limit would cause. There is also noise pollution, which would be a burden to the close surroundings of the motorways where the speed limit was increased.
Výraznou hlukovou hladinu a zatížení toho nejbližšího okolí.
Czech motorways, like those in almost all countries in Europe, were designed with the intention that the speed limit would not exceed 120 km per hour. There are some sections where a higher speed than the current 130 km per hour would be technically possible. But the overall negative effects on the environment and increased traffic risk will undoubtedly make it a topic of heated discussions in the months to come.
Studying wine labels can be a daunting business if you're not a connoisseur. And if you spend hours making up your mind what to select from your local wine shop, think how much harder things are for the blind who would need to bring a friend or depend entirely on the shop assistant. Now, a wine producer in Moravia has taken a step to change that. The Gallant Winery from Mikulov has started producing the first wine labels with letters in Braille. I spoke to one of the firm's co-owners, Martin Marian, to find out more about this pioneering endeavour in the Czech wine business.
According to the Czech law, there is so many unnecessary information what must the wine label or the vineyard contain. So we decided to add one more information, what could be helpful for the blind people. I think such information in Braille writing does not trouble the seeing wine customers or wine drinkers and could help a lot to the blind.
Tell me, how has it been received among the blind community?
They really appreciate this idea because they don't need the help in the wine shop if they want to choose the wine. They don't need the help of the salesman or from the shop assistant. They can choose the wine they want.
What does the label actually contain in Braille letters? What can they find?
They have the basic information about the wine sort, about the grapes, and attribute or the category of the sugar content in the grapes, and then the vintage and the winery.
I believe that you won competition with this. You received a special prize for it. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Firstly, we won the competition in Czech Republic. We got the award for the package of the year 2006 in the category of drink labels. And we got to the international competition and we got the World Star Package 2006 as well. So we should go to Chicago to get the prize.
Finally, do you think that this will catch on? Do you think that other firms will follow your example?
I hope so, because this information could be on food products as well or on medicine as well, because it's very, very important, because if the blind people has on his table many medicines, then he has to decide which one he has to take. So I think it's very important, and I hope so that other producers, not just wine producers, will follow the idea.
Martin Marian, co-owner of the Mikulov Winery Gallant, a company living up to its name. And speaking of prizes, the winery has also received the 2006 Bridges Award, a prize awarded to those who help to improve the quality of life of disabled people. You're listening to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. And it's now time to go places. In this week's Spotlight, Ian Willoughby will take you to the biggest open-air market in Prague.
This tram stop at Pražská tržnice, Prague Market, is often one of the busiest in the city, as thousands of people travel here every day in search of bargains. The market here in Holešovice, with its main gates no more than 40 meters from the river Vltava, is the biggest in the Czech capital.
No, já sem chodím ráda, a to z toho důvodu, protože si vyberu čerstvé.
I like coming here because I can choose fresh goods. As for the quality, well, I must say I don't go for the absolute cheapest stuff. For me, it has to be fresh and nice. I've been coming here once a week for around 6 years.
Já nevím, už takových 6 let asi.
Protože je to levný tady. Levný a...
It's cheap here. It's cheap and it suits me. The prices are definitely a third less than you would find elsewhere. Some of the fruit and veg here isn't such high quality. It's a bit squashed. But when you choose carefully, it's fine.
Holešovice Market is in Prague 7, not far from the Vltavská metro station. And it's huge, over 100,000 square meters. Its operators say over 12 million people a year come here to shop. Most of them are Czech, but some tourists also find their way to the market. But it isn't so long ago that this space served a rather different purpose, to say the least.
Originally, the whole place was the Prague's major slaughterhouse. So for the decades, it was used for slaughtering cows, the bulls, sheep, everything. In the 80s, the area was stopped used as the slaughterhouse, and it became a Prague market district in a kind of way that still is preserved until today.
Says Jan Charvat, who represents the company Delta Center, which operates Holešovice Market.
Everybody knows that this quality of the, you know, the aesthetics of the sale is not was not really looking nice. So it was, the visitors were limited mostly to low-income visitors, but it's changing now.
Would you say that it's fair to say that a lot of people travel long distances across Prague to come here for the cheap shopping.
Yeah, of course, cheap shopping, clothes, vegetable, large vegetable market, fruit market, and a lot of kind of discount sale.
The group has set itself the goal of turning this place, visited by some 12 million people a year, into a center of entertainment and leisure activities that will attract millions more. Young people, adults, locals and tourists, while preserving its unique character and charm.
This slick DVD promotes the all-new Holeshevice Market, being developed by operators Delta Center, who say that its current state does not meet the demands of the 21st century. When their plans are realized, this Trzeźnica will be hardly recognizable to those from Prague and elsewhere who've been coming here for cheap shopping for two decades.
Every night, the street will change its appearance as computer-controlled lighting paints it a different color. On weekends, the street will change colors every few minutes, creating a spectacular attraction.
But getting back to the present, alongside the food and veg, and regular shops such as Batia Shoes and hardware outlets, there are many Vietnamese market stalls here. A small number are selling dangerous-looking weapons, knuckle dusters and flick knives, as well as the more exotic oriental nunchuck sticks joined by a chain and throwing stars. But many of these stalls are selling counterfeit goods, knockoff imitations of world-famous brands like Dolce & Gabbana and Puma. I put this issue to Jan Charvat.
I must say firstly that with the new operator, the amount of deceased counterfeit goods is nearly a zero, and which is proven by the recent searches done by the police and the Czech trade inspection. So we were one of the lowest in the country for selling counterfeit products. But of course it's a problem, and we are working hard to solve it. And one of the things is that the not really good looking Vietnamese stands and Asian stands that doesn't even match the standards of the sanitary standards and the fire protection standards. So in a couple of months we start to build this whole new part of the river town, which will be an Asian market with unique atmosphere of exotic East on a high level, with really high aesthetic and high aesthetic level, with pagodas, with really stylish buildings for both outdoor and indoor sale.
Another aspect here is that there's a brothel, I believe, on the premises of the market. Will that remain, or are you planning to make some changes in that respect as well?
Of course, we are not really happy about it, but I must say that Delta Center, the company that operates the River Town, inherited the contract from the past, from the company that was operating the market before, so we are working on it too.
So do you think, for example, in 2 or 3 years' time, there will still be a brothel here?
Well, that's really nothing I can really make clear statement, because our lawyers are working on the contract, and of course we are evaluating all the possibilities how to deal with it.
In the meantime, operators Delta Center are concentrating on other changes to the market, formerly known as Pražská or Holeševická tržnice.
The whole area should be transformed into living space that will be open day and both day and night. In the day, of course, there will be new vegetable and fruit market will be operational. There will be the stands and outdoor and indoor sale on really higher standards, with outlet shops, with the brand shops and other network stores. In the night, there will be an open big disco club, one of the largest in the Central Europe, with all around the year e-culture events, show events, fashion events. So the goal is definitely to preserve some of the less expensive product range, but also to attract the high-end customers, I would say.
You were saying that for many people it's a place they know they can come and get cheap products and cheap food, fresh food at a low price. Do you think it will take a while, or will it be hard rather to change the image of the market?
Of course, but we are working hard on it, and the project is long-term project, of course, and with the money invested in future and that are being invested now, I'm sure the image will be changed and it will find its new customers.
The new name of Lechowice Market is River Town Prague. Across the river in Karlín, which is an area that's really booming now, there's a place called River City Prague. It's an office complex, I believe. Is there any connection in the two names?
Yes, the river, obviously, Vltava River. We are based at the just on the bank of Vltava River, and the town, of course, symbolizes the bright future, of, I would say, which is that it will become kind of a living town with full with entertainment, shopping opportunities.
Jan Charvat ending that edition of Spotlight with Ian Willoughby. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. I'd just like to remind you that you can find all of Radio Prague's programs in text and sound on our webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Danielle Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.
Poslouchá.